My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Wednesday, October 27th. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
It was a really great day to watch the waves. I was set up with my camera, just dodging rain showers, trying to hide under the trees and, you know, keep my camera covered up with plastic so that I could see, you know, all of the waves coming in.
As the bomb cyclone that rocked the coast passes, we learn more about why it was unique, what it's like to chase storms across North America, and how you can safely see some of the storms this season has to offer. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by the Victoria Symphony. The season continues with Gershwin and Beyond on November 6th and a concert for kids. Mighty Maestro returns on November the 7th. Visit victoriasymphony.ca or call the UVic box office for tickets. Hey, if you're enjoying the podcast and you want to know how to support us, the best thing that you can do is rate and review on the app that you're listening to right now, if it allows it. Or if you want to help Capital Daily as a whole, you can check out the Capital Daily membership opportunity at capitaldaily.ca/member. The bomb cyclone that hit much of the west coast of North America earlier this week caused intense waves at the shores of the western side of the island. If you were following online, you've likely seen a ton of pictures of the huge waves crashing into land. Most of those pictures come from people who travel to be in the thick of the storms across the province and the country. One of those people is Kyle Britton. He's the Alberta Bureau Chief for the Weather Network. He came from Calgary to see the storm. Today he joins us to talk about his experience watching this storm and traveling to see others across not only Canada, but also the entire continent. He'll also give us some tips to help us safely chase and observe Vancouver Island's coming storms as the season sets in. Kyle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You are a weather professional, so I assume the answer to this is yes, but I want to ask, do you follow a lot of storms?
Absolutely, from coast to coast to coast here in Canada and abroad as well, down in the States mainly.
Oh, really? So you've traveled out, I'm assuming, to some of the hurricanes then?
No hurricanes yet for this guy. This is actually one of the first big rainstorms that I've actually chased. Mainly severe thunderstorms, convective weather, tornadoes. You know, I've been chasing tornadoes in the U.S., Tornado Alley, and in the Canadian prairies for a number of years now. So that's usually where I've been. But I'm trying to expand my horizons a bit, I guess you could say.
Would you say that chasing tornadoes is more dangerous, or was this a new experience that was a little bit thrilling in a different way, maybe?
You know, it's hazards like that are you have to manage them in specific and unique ways. I would say that the most hazardous thing about chasing tornadoes isn't actually the weather. It's the road. Driving is certainly the most dangerous part of storm chasing. In that nature. So, I mean, here on the coast, it was a slightly different game, I guess you could say. You probably just don't want to get too close to the water or stand underneath any really big trees with the really strong winds that were blowing. But yeah, different kind of nature, but comparable in some ways, certainly exciting. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm picturing, I have to admit, I'm a fan of the movie Twister. I've watched it multiple times. And I'm picturing when they are driving the trucks right down the road, just speeding down. Is that actually possible, or is there too much wind for that kind of movement?
Yeah, I mean, Twister is a cult classic. I mean, it's spawned a whole generation of storm chasers, myself included. It came out on my 11th birthday. And I actually saw my first ever tornado that day as well, just outside of Calgary. So it was just a great day. It was kind of like meant to be. And so, I mean, the movie Twister, there's a lot of things that are sort of unrealistic about it, but that makes it, you know, fun in that regard. Certainly CGI has improved since then. There's a new movie coming out called 13 Minutes, which the storm chasing community is really excited to watch. It's another tornado drama movie. But yeah, Twister is just a timeless classic, right? So yeah, like I say, some of it's realistic. Getting hit by 7 tornadoes in a day and surviving, you know, that's not really realistic.
But it makes a good movie. So you just said that these rainstorms are new to you. Was this coastal storm the first bomb cyclone that you've seen?
No, actually, I've seen bomb cyclones elsewhere. They do occur in many different places. They can occur in the east coast of North America. They can occur actually out of Alberta, where I'm from, southern Alberta. They're called Alberta Clippers. And basically what a bomb cyclone is, it's another one of those really scary terms that's become really popular in the public, like polar vortex. Sounds really scary. A bomb cyclone is a meteorological term when you have the really rapidly dropping air pressure. So the actual parameters that you need to reach are at least 1 millibar per hour for 24 hours of pressure, atmospheric pressure falling. And with this particular storm, it was actually falling at a rate twice that. So 2 millibars per hour. Not that that means anything for many people, but it just means that it was just plummeting. That atmospheric pressure was dropping like a rock, which means that you're going to have all kinds of really strong winds flowing into that storm system to try to fill that void of atmospheric pressure. So it's, it was a very intense storm. And if it had been, 500 kilometers maybe to the east, we would have seen completely different impacts. I mean, there were some impacts in the lower mainland and southern Vancouver Island, eastern Vancouver Island, some power outages here and there. But I mean, we had hurricane force winds out at sea with this storm. And had it been a little further to the east, it would have really been a different story for much of the Pacific Northwest and southern BC. So, yeah, I mean, this bomb cyclone, just to put into perspective, I mean, we hit 942.5 millibars at a low, which simply just means that it was the strongest ever, the lowest ever atmospheric pressure for a storm system in the Northeast Pacific ever recorded. So it was a very strong storm. And that was part of the allure for me to come out here specifically just to document that.
Oh, wow. Okay. So was there any expectation for it to be a little bit closer to the coast? Because I know that people, and this typically happens, I'm assuming that you're used to it as somebody who's in weather, but people are disappointed by the lack of storm or the lack of weather that they see in their personal area. Were we expecting to see more on the coast, or was it anticipated to be more of an ocean storm?
Well, with these types of storms, because we're relying heavily on weather model output for trying to predict their track, you typically want to convey through communication all the potential impacts. Because if that storm, say, does kind of swerve or pivot slightly off track, slightly unexpectedly, that can mean, the difference of 50 kilometers can mean a difference in whether or not half of Vancouver loses power. So you certainly have to convey that the possibility that we could see this happen. One of the problems, of course, is that weather models aren't the greatest at capturing weather solutions or storm systems that are coming off the Pacific Ocean, because a large part of those weather models is inputs that come from observing sites, so weather stations. But what's just west of British Columbia? Just a gigantic ocean. There's not much in the way of weather observation out over the ocean. So a lot of the time, you actually end up having these storm systems come in. They're a little bit more unpredictable. So that makes it somewhat of a forecast challenge for West Coast, British Columbia. So certainly you have to keep those factors in mind when you're forecasting a storm of this magnitude that could have potentially very significant and disastrous effects. I mean, we do have cases in the past where there's been significant wind storms in the Pacific Northwest that have just totally wreaked havoc. So yes, the storm was the strongest ever recorded in the Northeast Pacific, but it was out at sea when it was at its strongest. So we kind of dodged a bullet in that respect. And yeah, I mean, the storm chaser and a lot of people might hope for, a bigger storm, but that leads to all kinds of problems, right? If that storm is fully realized.
Yeah, and it's always better to be over-cautious than under-cautious and not give people notice of something that could potentially be massive. So anybody who is concerned or upset that the weather wasn't exactly as they expected should probably just be happy that they were ready for if it had been.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, certainly being prepared is key. I mean, it's a delicate kind of, it's kind of a balancing act that we have to, as weather communicators, kind of walk, right? Is if you do, overhype a storm system with these potential impacts, then it doesn't happen. And that happens on numerous occasions. Then you start to be accused of crying wolf, right? So it's constantly balancing. And that's not good either, right? Because then, then when a real storm comes, and you said that last time, and then it's actually really bad, right? So you kind of have to choose your words carefully. And yes, we have a huge storm approaching. We do expect impacts. We're going to be having to see in real time how that plays out.
But you were there in an area that you did see some impacts. There was some really heavy waves coming in on shore. You're down in Ucluelet right now. What was it like? Was it very powerful?
Yeah, you know, certainly. I mean, there's certain areas of the world where, you know, I was watching the surfers on North Chesterman Beach the other day there, and it was like 2-3 meter swells, just a good day of surfing in Tofino. There's parts of the world where there's like major league swells coming in, 5-10 meter swells. So, I mean, the waves themselves, they were large for Tofino, Ucluelet standards. They were 5 to 7 meters at their peak, which is, you know, 15, 20 feet somewhere in that neighborhood. So certainly very large swells, not as big as they can get in certain parts of the world, but big enough to certainly pound the shore. And of course, it's a really rugged shoreline around here, so you don't see too much in the way of erosion along the coastline here. But yeah, I mean, big waves, strong winds, heavy rain, the whole, you know, shebang out here on the coast. That's what we saw. So it was really quite something to witness the waves like that. They persisted right into Monday. So it was a really great day to watch the waves. I was set up with my camera, just dodging rain showers, trying to hide under the trees and, you know, keep my camera covered up with plastic so that I could see, you know, all of the waves coming in and just, you know, trying to document them at the exact right moment when they're breaking and whatnot. Well, there were some fantastic photographs, though, if you go on Twitter, mm-hmm. of waves. This storm system generated gigantic swells everywhere from northern Vancouver Island right down into California. And there's some really great pictures down in Washington, Oregon, where the waves were even bigger. So, yeah, certainly a highly impactful storm.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some posts online about L.A. getting rain, so definitely impactful. And we'll take a quick pause here for a word from our sponsor. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by Coastal Community Credit Union. Who's taking care of your financial health? Coastal Community Credit Union is here to help you reach your goals and do great things. Visit cccu.ca. Okay, so before we talk more about Ucluelet and Tofino and the storms in that area, because that's a huge thing for the season on the island right now, I just wanted to talk about what it's like to actually chase down a storm and be in the thick of it. It's something that you do all the time. You follow tornadoes. What's it like? What's the thrill?
Well, for somebody who's a weather enthusiast, it's just amazing to actually witness nature and the power of nature up close. And that's really all it is for a lot of folks. People chase storms and track active weather according to their own, you know, their own desires and their own needs. People have different reasons for doing it. Some like to do it just to kind of spot storms and active weather to provide information to the weather service that they can kind of help, you know, help that situation where they're kind of, you know, warning the public and be contributing in that way. Other people like myself, I mean, I was afraid, I was terrified of thunderstorms when I was a kid. And it actually kind of gave me this just burning passion to learn more about the storms. And then as you get older and you get over your fear, you just constantly want to be near them. So for me, the thrill is in itself, just witnessing the absolute monstrous power of nature in these big storms and, you know, getting close to them. But, you know, you want to live to see another storm. I mean, storm chasers are often portrayed as thrill seekers. You might see some video from a few prominent storm chasers in the States getting really close to, you know, big tornadoes and whatnot. That's not how all storm chasers are. Everyone has their own circle or sphere of acceptable risk. And I guess the more you do it, the more you realize where that sphere lies and you know, what sort of risks you're willing to balance. And it's just basically risk management, getting close to these storms and considering all the possible, you know, outcomes. Like if you're chasing storms in the Great Plains, you know, you might have a tornado bearing down on you. What are your escape routes? What roads did you take to get in? Are they in good shape? Has it been raining? Are they slippery? How close can you get? What's the storm motion? Could the storm shift its track at the last minute? You have to consider all of these and many other factors when you're getting close to storms. And I guess with the more experience you get, the more you learn that, right? So, but the thrill is, like I say, it's just the marvel and wonder and the power of nature, just being close to that. That's sort of what drives the passion of a lot of storm chasers.
Mm-hmm. So I know that you go with like a lot of different locations across North America, but is there a consistent community of people that you see in all these different places?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a growing community. It used to be before social media. I mean, there were a few people. I guess social media kind of brought on a little bit more of the popularity. People are starting to see some of the photographs you can get that are really unique. If you're a more skilled weather forecaster, you can actually, it's not just like, happenstance. Sometimes you can stumble upon, through just pure blind chance, this amazing scene. But if you know what you're doing, if you know where to look, you can actually use weather forecasting to get yourself into some very unique situations and see some incredible scenes. And so, there's a lot of great photographers out there that are really good at documenting these storms up close and personal. So, I mean, yeah, there is a growing community. It used to be really small, but it's still, like in Alberta, for instance, thunderstorm chasers, we've probably got a community of about 50 or 60 people that do it quite seriously. And then, several hundred more that are enthusiasts. They're keen on that. We get lots of active weather in Alberta, thunderstorms, natural disasters. Mm-hmm. So, typically a place like that, you'll tend to see, a bigger community of weather enthusiasts. So, yeah, there's certainly a community here in BC as well. And of course, a lot of them are going to be interested in the type of weather that you get here, like these big winter storms.
Yeah. Okay. And I want to talk about that because it is kind of a thing to do in Vancouver Island is to head down a little bit on the coast and to catch some of these big winter storms that we get in Tofino, Euclid, in that area. What kind of advice would you give to somebody who is looking to find these storms first and also get the best angles of them and stay safe?
Well, certainly it's timing, right? So, there's a whole... it's like a part of the tourism here in Euclid, Tofino. Those are busy communities in the summer for their own reasons, but in the winter time, it kind of keeps the storm watching is a thing here. And, it kind of keeps that tourism flowing throughout the winter. And so, typically you could come at any time in the winter and you might see some tempestuous waves rolling in off the ocean. But if you can time it to a big storm, if there's word of a big windstorm approaching the coast, that's probably a good time to head out before, get out there before, they shut down flights and the ferries, are canceled. If you can get out to Tofino, it's kind of one of those things where if you really want to nail it, you have to have sort of an open schedule and the ability to go at the last minute because there's always pretty big waves coming in here, but if you want to see those monstrous waves and you got to time it at the last minute, that's what I did as well. Like I didn't decide until 2 days before that I was going to come out here because I was just kind of waiting for that opportunity. Cause it's a time and a financial commitment. So you want to make sure you really nail it. And then of course, once you're there, it's pretty straightforward. These storms are typically associated with a lot of rain and wind. So just dress for the weather, dress in layers. Certainly on the outside, you've got your rainwear, rain jacket, hat, rubber mm-hmm. boots, rain pants, and then wool layers underneath to help you stay warm. Even wool, when it gets wet, it keeps its warmth. So certainly better option than cotton. And of course, yeah, just making sure you're playing safe. When you get a break between when the rain isn't driving in, you can get some nice photographs. If you can time it so that those swells are coming in ahead of a storm and it's still kind of sunny, that's the best case because those waves are just really huge and you can get some really nice photos of them. And just stay off the tidal rocks. These big waves, say you've got 5 meter waves rolling in, you might think you're safe standing on a tidal rock, but every now and then you get what are called these maximum waves. It can be up to twice the size and that could wash you right out to sea and that would be a bad day because it's really turbulent water. So of course, staying back, giving those waves some space, and of course having the view from further back is better anyways because you can just see the entire wave just kind of curling and ripping as it goes along, and that keeps you drier that way too because when those waves are pounding and you're up close, you just get soaking wet.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like, I have no idea, I've never chased any storms, but it seems like if you wanted to get into following storms, this actually could be a good opportunity or a good type of storm to get yourself used to, because it is, you stay along the coast and you stay far enough back and you don't really have to plan your escape routes like you do like a tornado. Would you say it's good for people who are just getting into it?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's pretty G-rated when you're starting out here. There's lots of play. The tourism's kind of built around it, right? There's even if you stay at the iconic Wiccaninish Inn, they've got that hotel kind of built with a great view of the ocean and the waves crashing in. So you can keep it really safe and watch it from inside if you want there. Of course, yeah, but it's pretty chill if you're standing back just watching the waves crash in. Everybody likes to hear the sound of those ocean waves, but when it's a really big storm, you can get a sense of whether or not you like it because part of storm chasing, there's that element of getting wet or getting out in the elements, and you have to see if that's a thing for you. Yeah, like, let me get hit by all that rain and wind. I love how that feels. You know, as long as you're managing your risks and you know exactly where to go, you know, always start out really conservative and give it a try. And then, yeah, you might see that you really like it. I mean, it's quite a different beast than chasing severe thunderstorms out on the Great Plains of North America. So it's a great, it's probably a great place to start, I would say.
Awesome. Okay, and I have a personal question for you. I've been looking at your Twitter because you have been retweeting and posting a lot of great pictures from the waves that we did see. But you also been tweeting a lot about how much you like Eklulit. Do you still plan on returning to Alberta?
I have to return to Alberta eventually. But oh man, I'm like, where I'm standing right now, I'm standing by South Beach, which is between Tofino and Eklulit, right in the middle of the rainforest. It smells like a mix of Maui and the west coast of New Zealand. You know, that temperate rainforest is just like a mossy cedar, like just a wonderful smell. And yeah, like, I'm definitely gonna have to come back now. I can't believe it's taken me 36 years to get here out to the west part of Vancouver Island. So yeah, I mean, I do have to go back, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. That's why I say, once you move here, you don't move away.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yep.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much, and a safe trip back to Alberta. And yeah, thank you very much for this.
Thanks, nice chatting with you.
If you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamport. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.